dawn of recorded history, mankind has been obsessed with its glory.
Picture that cold.
Shriveled up bollocks.
Hello and welcome once again to Shriveled Up Bollocks, your monthly companion to life in the hilly self-governed principality of the 21st century.
I won't be taking that, son. It's in a right bloody state.
You must be joking. Look at the state of it.
That's in a bit of a state, like.
I ain't stealing that. Look at the state of it.
You look a right state just like it.
It's a state. It's a bloody state.
It's a bit of a state, is it no?
The state of the nation.
The past month has seen things for the Labour Party go from atrocious to even more atrocious as the government continues to be crushed under its own incompetence, stumbling from one badly handled damning scandal to the next and generally being crap at everything. Gordon Brown was recently described by the acting Lib Dem leader as having gone through a remarkable transformation from Stalin to Mr. Bean, and I couldn't agree more. What Brown lacked in charisma, something which his predecessor, who I miss by the way, had by the bucket load, I thought he'd make up for in his other leadership qualities like, that's the problem, really. 3 terms of a Labour government should be something to celebrate, but since Comrade Bean took over, it's been nothing but an embarrassment to its former supporters. Obviously, I can't speak for anyone else, but this recent spate of trust-undermining catastrophes, Election Gate, Discgate, Donation Gate, Honours Gate, Sandwich Gate, Gate Gate, Master Gate, Garden Gate, the mainstream media's running out of ideas gate, has finally tipped me over the edge and I'm no longer a Labour supporter. I've stuck with these bastards through thick and thin for the best part of a decade, even way back when the Iraq War started, when it was practically social suicide to do so. But the staggeringly shambolic display of seemingly deliberate incompetence by the Brown-led cabinet has finally made me turn my back on them. Fuck 'em, basically. The half-assed apology letter I received from Revenue and Customs for losing all my details in the post was kind of the last straw. I even considered voting Tory for the first time in my life for about 20 seconds, and if you don't think that's much of a revelation, then let me tell you. I'm the son of a socialist Welshman who's still mightily pissed off about Margaret Thatcher, and I spent my childhood having conservative ideals and policies engraved into my brain as perfect examples of evil in its purest form. So I find myself in a bit of a quandary. Labour can get stuffed, David Cameron and co can join them in hell, and I'd rather see Jodie Marsh as Prime Minister with Pete Doherty as Secretary of Defence than give my vote to the Liberal Democrats. Alex Salmond, the toad-faced head honcho of the SNP-led Scottish Government, seems to be cementing his position as the lesser of 12 evils, which is all any party leader can really hope for, and as much as it pains me to say so, I'm glad we have this option north of the border. Anyway, what I'm getting at is UK politics is currently too depressing to cover, and I honestly can't be arsed with it anymore, so expect the State of the Nation segment to be put to bed for a little while unless I start using it exclusively to report New Order tour dates. Super Mario Galaxy is the killer Mario title that gamers have been waiting for since the disappointing Super Mario Sunshine hit the GameCube in 2002.
Super Mario Galaxy!
The game's storyline, as if you were in any doubt, stays true to Nintendo's utter unwillingness to come up with any new ideas and sees Mario triple jumping through hoops to rescue Princess Peach, who's managed to get herself kidnapped by Bowser for the umpteenth fucking time. I'm surprised that Miss Toadstool hasn't ditched Mario and gone off with Bowser of her own free will anyway, because she's bound to be suffering from Stockholm Syndrome by now, and surely most girls would take an obscenely wealthy bad boy lizard king over an obese Brooklyn plumber with a psychotropic mushroom addiction and an autistic, mentally retarded brother to look after. But hey, that's the point. Nintendo are all about the gameplay, and Mario's staple storyline is nothing more than a convenient excuse to send him on a quest. The gameplay, as it happens, is sublime. It's quite possibly the best platformer ever made by anyone ever, and I can quite honestly say that it's the closest thing to perfection in the entire platform genre. Mario's basic jump-and-run gameplay remains at the core of his latest outing, but the Celestial setting gives the developers an excuse to push this tried-and-tested mechanic to new extremes. It is business as usual, but with some brilliant new twists that are positively guaranteed to make your stomach turn. Mario Galaxy's spacebound environments are vast three-dimensional spaces populated by small planetoids and objects, i.e. platforms, each one with its own gravitational pull. This allows for what Nintendo calls sphere walking, which can be mighty confusing at first, but once you get used to it, you'll wonder why no 3D platformer ever did this before. Because jumping upside down and topsy-turvily between the gravitational pulls of small Goomba-infested moons of joy is probably one of the funnest things you will ever do in a video game. Galaxy serves as a fantastic example of how developers can use the Wii's motion sensing controls sparingly and intelligently without going overboard and making gamers look like red-faced arm-flailing twat. Mario's direction is controlled with the nunchuck's analog stick, and jumping is performed with the giant A button on the Wiimote. The Wii's famous next-gen, gotta hate that expression, controls come into play when performing spin attacks, which are performed by giving the Wiimote a quick shake from the wrist, which works perfectly, by the way, and the Wiimote's on-screen pointer is used to subtly manipulate the environment by, for example, collecting star bits and shooting them at the screen to stun enemies, or for stretching elasticated globs of spider silk to catapult Mario around a boss fight. Yes, the game really is that bizarre, and it's wonderfully imaginative. Yeah. I do have a few grievances with this title. It's simultaneously the most enjoyable and the most frustrating platformer I've ever played. It gets absurdly difficult in places, and there are many levels where you'll easily waste 5 or 6 lives trying to get past a particular bit. The gameplay hours are artificially extended by what the game calls prankster comets, which usually come into orbit around a level you've already done, meaning you have to redo that stage in the game but with an irritating handicap. For example, some comets enforce a time limit, others cause the enemies in a level to move twice as fast as usual. The most annoying of these is the Daredevil comet, which requires you to redo boss battles without taking any damage whatsoever. Now, I've done a few of these, and somehow I've managed to do them without smashing the Wiimote through my television in a fit of rage, and a lot of screamed expletives. The game has moments which are capable of reducing any well-adjusted human being into a quivering, sweaty mess with apparent Tourette syndrome. Visually, it's impressive, even when compared to titles on the Wii's polygon-shitting, number-crunching rivals. Galaxy sports some very modern graphical features like normal mapping, specular distortion and fur shading, with some incredibly detailed character models and pin-sharp textures. Nintendo have clearly done an amazing job of optimizing the code, because despite the underpowered hardware, the game plays at a rock-solid 60 frames per second, apart from some very, very rare moments where the frame rate might momentarily dip by an almost imperceptible amount. The sound design is frankly second to none, with Dolby Pro Logic 2 being masterfully used to create a lush, crisp soundscape that brings a tear to the ear, coupled with an expertly assembled orchestral soundtrack, and to settle a workplace argument, it isn't MIDI, by the way, Richard. To wrap up, if you own a Wii, you must have this game. If you're a gamer who doesn't own a Wii, rest assured that this title alone is worth getting one for. Nintendo have basically reinvented the platformer, and they deserve our money for doing that.
Feed my buck.
I've had a few positive messages on the website, www.bagofbollocks.co.uk, and I particularly want to mention one note of praise from fellow podcaster Andrew, who produces a show called I Say I Say I Say, which you can find at www.isayisayisay.info. It's an unscripted audio blog-style commentary by Andrew and his partner Jason on anything that takes their fancy, whether it be pop culture, politics, design, which is what the guys do by trade, or even just general goings-on in their lives. It's funny, witty, interesting and informative. Everything a podcast should be, really, so I certainly recommend giving them a listen. I've had one email. This is from another guy called Andrew from Glasgow, who writes to say, "Hi Jim, loving the show. In episode 2 you said you didn't have any interest in owning a Wii." It was episode 4, actually, but carry on. "But now you're going on about Wii games, so I'm assuming you've bought one since then. Can I ask what changed your mind?" I haven't scripted a response to this in the spirit of the way I want to answer feedback, but I basically got one because I like what Nintendo have done with this generation. I like the fact that they've bucked the trend of increasing the clock speed of the hardware, or increasing the capability of the hardware, while still basically keeping everything else the same. Like, I mean, is there really much difference between an Xbox and an Xbox 360 apart from the visuals? Once you take that away, it's exactly the same experience. It's the same with the PS2 and the PS3. There's not much between them when you you know, break it down into what you actually do with the system. I'd seen Wii Sports being played, and I'd really wanted a piece of that action. And my wife wanted one as well, and so that made the decision for me. And it's been a brilliant decision. It's probably one of the best gaming purchases I've made for maybe the last 10 years, in a very long time, put it that way. At first, I didn't really like the system because it just seemed to be mini game collections. That's all the game library was. WarioWare, Mario Party, all this other miscellaneous mini game crap. But now you've got things like Paper Mario and, of course, Mario Galaxy, two fantastic titles. There's also, you know, the Zelda, and there's other games coming out next year, like Disaster Day of Crisis, which is a surprisingly serious game from Nintendo. The list is going on and on, and developers are now actually looking at the Wii as a viable contender. With the GameCube, Nintendo kind of fucked up, and third-party support was really bad. But now, because of the Wii's sheer popularity, third parties are really looking at this system like, wait a minute, we've got to give this the same amount of care and time and attention as we give the other two. So they're not just doing PS2 ports or throwing mini games at it anymore. They're actually doing, good long story games, sort of what gamers like to call proper games. And the innovative control system is just out of this world. The control system is something that it's a kick up the arse to the entire gaming industry, basically. And it hasn't had a kick up the arse like this for a long, long time. Ultimately, you can say what you like about its hardware or whether or not you like the controls or whatever. What it really boils down to is gaming is first and foremost about having fun, which is something that, you know, gamers and game developers alike seem to forget. The Wii is fun. I also really like its net features. Like, I've bought a lot of games on Virtual Console, a lot of N64 games. I never had an N64, so I didn't really get into it. Mario 64 kind of passed me by. The whole N64 era pretty much passed me by. I've also been using its web browser. I mean, it's just a phenomenal little thing. It's so cute, and yeah, I just love it, basically. It's a colossal turnaround for me, because I was pretty much laying into it at every opportunity about a year ago, but I can admit when I've been totally wrong, and I have to say, as far as the Wii's concerned, I was completely wrong. It's a lovely system. It's probably the best console I've ever owned, and I don't say that lightly. Fantastic stuff. I couldn't recommend it enough. Anyway, some news about the Bag of Bollocks podcast feed. Some of you might be wondering what happened to the prick, although most of you are probably glad he's fucked off. Well, wonder no longer, the prick fans, because he's getting his own 7-minute mini-episode type thing, which will be added to the main podcast feed, helping, along with Shriveled Up, to fill the long 4-week gap between episodes. He's no longer going to be ranting inarticulately about miscellaneous trivial rubbish, however. He's going to be reviewing films inarticulately while ranting about miscellaneous trivial rubbish. It's going to be called Jim's Bag of Bollocks Presents the Little Prick Prickcast with the Prick, although we'll probably shorten that to something that isn't a mouthful of pricks. Next week he'll be reviewing The Hitman Movie, a video game inspired popcorn flick which is worth seeing simply because it's got nothing to do with Uwe fucking Ball. So tune in for that next week. I'll be back on the 23rd of December with Jim's Bag of Baubles, a 45 minute Bollocks Christmas special which will be packed with 2007 top 5 charts in various categories, some deliciously Christmassy musical numbers, as well as the usual reviews, commentary, and general booting in the balls of popular culture. Until then, see you folks, and remember, I'm really, really, really wanting your feedback. So if you feel like dropping me a line, or complaining, or calling me a dickhead, or disagreeing with one of my reviews, or whatever you want, it's feedback@bagofbollocks.co.uk, or you can just go straight to bagofbollocks.co.uk and comment on the blog page. On that note, I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. Bye!
It's me, Mario!